This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. We do have a full list of school closures, but not all the schools around here are closed, and that's at WKOK.com. You can check out Winternet there. Rob Satter's our fabulous producer, so he's keeping us up to date. Good morning, everyone. In the studio with us now, two moms are here. That's the job title that they bring to our studios today. They're also organizers of the local chapter of the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America group. Sherry Jacobson of Lewisburg is here, and Samantha Pearson of Lewisburg is here. Welcome back, Sherry.
Morning.
I appreciate you coming in. Welcome back, Samantha.
Good to be here, Mark.
Always appreciate the updates that we get. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, local group, national group. Sort of give us an overview, remind folks what this good group is.
We are a national organization with chapters in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. We now number about 6 million volunteers and supporters. We are a pro-Second Amendment organization devoted to gun safety, and we are nonpartisan.
All right, and Senator Pat Toomey is always talking about these common sense changes to gun laws that would make us safer. The Moms group is kind of in lockstep, not necessarily with every measure, but supports this idea that gun laws could be changed or tweaked that could make families safer.
Yes, we're working on closing some loopholes. We can talk about that today. We're working on some new legislation introduced by a Republican Senator, State Senator Tom Killian. And we're also commemorating, in particular this month, we are commemorating the lives of survivors of gun violence and people whose lives have been affected by gun violence.
Survivors, please.
Yeah, we actually, this is the beginning of February is called Survivors Week now, and it's a kind of unfortunate memorial week. It's the time of the year in which the American tally of gun deaths surpasses the annual level of gun deaths in other developed nations. So basically, we have on the order of 10 to 12 times as many deaths due to gun violence in our country as other developed nations. And so we get to that bleak number already in the beginning of February. So Moms Demand Action and Every Town for Gun Safety declared the first week in February to be Survivors Week, and we've been helping to commemorate that. We participated in a vigil up in Scranton for survivors, and the sort of work to support the Everytown Survivor Network.
Well, survivors is a word that's kind of bandied around. You hear it a lot around here. What does it mean to be a gun violence survivor?
Well, there are many ways in which gun violence affects all of us, and unfortunately, it's fairly pervasive. It can be from anything from being very immediately, having been threatened by a gun, having survived a gun incident. Can be a family member of someone who was threatened by a gun. It can be family and loved ones of people who died by gun violence at their own hands. This can include suicide, accidental gun violence, toddlers killing or being killed. All of these things are ways in which we are affected. Now, certainly some people have much more exposure to these traumas. But when we start realizing these degrees of separation, we start realizing that it actually statistically impacts something like 50% of the country.
And Sherry, we seem to know more today that if an individual is a survivor of something, that it's more than just an incident that happened in their past. It becomes a major pivot point in their life from which everything else emanates after that incident, that kind of thing.
Sure. Certainly, being threatened by a firearm, being shot, having a loved one taken by gun violence or injured, I think a lot of times Americans tend to think about people being killed by guns, which is, of course, a tremendous problem. We're at about an average of 40,000 gun deaths per year in this country now. What we don't spend as much time talking about are people who perhaps have permanent disabilities as a result of gun violence, who spend the rest of their lives with mobility issues or chronic pain In addition to the psychological and emotional trauma, this is also a big part of our survivor support for people like that. People who grew up being threatened by guns, that can lead to kind of lifelong trauma and PTSD. People who grew up in houses where guns were used to abuse children, even if nobody was shot. So as Sam said, you know, the net is very far reaching. And we as a group are really committed, of course, to preventing gun violence. And also, I would say that's just as important, supporting people whose lives have been affected by gun violence.
Yeah, and there's a great, one of the great things about Moms Demand Action in Every Town for Gun Sense is the idea that there's a national network and amazing resources available, including training. So one of the important things with respect to the Survivors Network is that there is training available so that people can start to, who are involved, can start to understand trauma-informed best practices and understand sort of some basic dynamics, such as that everyone is affected differently. So even two people with, on the face, very similar exposures may have entirely different things they carry away from that. And you mentioned that these are lifelong things, that they last forever. This year, for Survivors Week, a hashtag was introduced, hashtag Moments That Survive. And the idea is to allow people to, when they feel ready, if they feel ready, to share their stories and then be empowered to take action that will make a difference in the future to help reduce gun violence.
And there's gun violence survivors around here. We know this to be true.
Yes. Definitely. Again, there are degrees of gun violence, and it depends, you know, people have to decide whether they are ready to share their stories and whether they're ready to have other people share their stories.
And we are talking, as we discuss this, a lot of folks may say, well, I grew up with guns. We had a shotgun in the corner of the kitchen. You know, I mean, somebody may say that. I didn't. But guns are very common around here. There's a big difference between a fact that guns are prevalent in a home and used for hunting and target shooting and you know, sort of the recreational aspect of guns versus somebody who's encountered a gun in either in a violent way or a threatening way or just had a gun displayed in a manner so that it was in plain sight.
Well, and that's actually one of the angles that we have is we're very much in favor of safe storage. That's one of the really primary ways of helping keep kids safe in particular. So the idea of a shotgun in the corner in the kitchen, for example, that can be problematic. There are some basic principles of safe storage, and we actually have a whole program called Be Smart, which is an acronym about how to keep kids safe, that includes everything from best storage practices, keeping guns locked with the ammunition separate, not with the key right there if it's a key safe or anything like that, and also understanding other warning signs, recognizing warning signs for teen suicide, things like that. We have an entire team that can offer trainings on Be Smart and have done at this point, I think they did 7 last year, and they're scheduled for several this year already.
All right, so the word's getting out then, so families, we hope, are upgrading their thoughts as it related to gun storage and gun safety, and the Be Smart deals with a wide range of other topics around the house, not just weapons, right?
No, Be Smart is focused on weapons.
Guns,
and in fact, it's really about guns and kids and the idea that parents are the ones that need to keep the kids safe.
All right, and parents need to think about that. And not just for your own kids. If I do recall anything accurately, it's from Be Smart that it relates to kids visiting the home or just the neighboring kids that don't visit. You know, if you have a house and you have two adults there and you think, well, we don't have to lock up the guns, we got no kids. The neighbor kids are there, and that means they could be in the house at any moment. So
that's true. And also thinking about where your kids are going, you may have your guns safely stored, but if your children go over to a friend's house, it's also about creating sort of a cultural norm that it's okay to ask.
We are going to talk about legislation. There are actually some activities that relate to Gun Survivors Week that's over, but Gun Survivors Month is under Gun Violence Survivors Month is underway. If somebody wants more information now, what's the best way to get details about the Moms Group?
The best way is to email GunSense4CSV, CSV as in Central Susquehanna Valley, at Gmail. So that's gunsense4csv@gmail.com. You can also go to the Moms website, just the regular Moms Demand Action website, and there's a lot of information up there that you can find activities near you. We have groups now in terms of Central Pennsylvania. We have group based in these five counties, the greater Susquehanna Valley, Central Susquehanna Valley. There's also a group in Center County, out by State College. There's a group up in Williamsport now, and we are starting to have one organized up in the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area. So plenty of options for people.
All right. Well, this has got to be brought up and talked about, so we're going to continue this at 7:40. Sherry Jacobson and Samantha Pearson, local members of the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America group. We have been here in the past talking about some of the issues that they brought up, including the fact that there could be some changes in gun laws that would make us safer, and some of those are pending in either Harrisburg or Washington. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking about the Moms Group and Gun Survivors Aware, Gun Violence Survivors Month underway.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us. Fabulous producer Rob Santer, Mr. Rob Santer on the other side of the glass. And we do have Matt Cotrillo in the newsroom keeping the winternet up to date. So everybody's busy in here except me. I get to talk to the two guests on Sunrise. In the studio with us and now, Samantha Pearson is here of Lewisburg. She's one of the founding members of the local Moms Group around here. It's Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. And Sherry Jacobson of Lewisburg joins us. It's all Jacobsons all the time this week. We're lucky. We talked again to Dave yesterday for a pre-recording of A Sunrise Later. Nick was in the studios last week, and he's going to be in next week as we talk about Bye Bye Birdie. So,
yep, Lewisburg Area High
family.
School Musical. Shout out.
Yeah, fantastic. And when are the dates of Bye Bye Birdie?
March 1st and 2nd.
All right, thank
and
you.
And tickets are available online.
Look at her beaming. Oh, my gosh, you're so proud of your kids. I'll tell you what. Fabulous family. We're so glad we know them. And Samantha Pearson is here. She's got two good kids, and they're probably lighting up the school district, too.
One in the pit orchestra for Bye Bye Birdie.
Fantastic. All right, good. All right, also active in the Moms Group, making sure that gun safety is brought up and talked about, gun violence is being talked about, and Gun Violence Survivors Week has passed, and this is Gun Violence Survivors Month. That is still underway, so really just totally serious topics that we're talking about. Gun violence survivors will be honored coming up. So let's talk about that.
Yes. Moms Demand Action groups have monthly meetings in general. If you look for one in your area, we have regular monthly meetings. And our February meeting is featuring remembrances and honoring survivors both in our group and in general.
All right, and this is an opportunity that's coming up. So when is this?
So our normal monthly meeting is actually the third Wednesday of the month, but because of the weather this afternoon, our meeting has been postponed till next Wednesday, which is February 27th, and it'll be at 7 p.m. in the East Buffalo Township building.
All right, and this is the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America Central Susquehanna Valley chapter, and you'll be honoring gun violence survivors at that time.
Yes, this is a special program for our meeting this month.
And you know that you'll have some individuals there?
We do have survivors among our number. As I said, it's up to the survivors to choose what they want to share and who they want to share their stories with. We always want to work with how people themselves want to deal with these things. But we do want people to know that there are survivors, and we are helping to both support and connect survivors to create a more supportive network.
All right. If you would like to contact the Moms group locally, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, the email is gunsense4CSV. So you could say gunsense for Central Susquehanna Valley, but it's gunsense4CSV@gmail.com is a way to get a hold of them. You can also go all the way back around through the National Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America group, and they do recognize the local groups and individuals that are active in the various areas. So that meeting is coming up next Wednesday, the 27th, 7 p.m. at East Buffalo Township Building. ERPA talked a little bit about it, Extreme Risk Protection Order. This is pending in Harrisburg.
Yeah, this is legislation that was introduced by Republican Senator Tom Killian, State Senator Tom Killian. And, of course, gun violence is a complex public health issue in our country right now, with almost 40,000 or an average of 40,000 people dying every year from gun violence. People who've experienced gun violence may have experienced domestic violence. And we were really thrilled to see Act 79 pass last year to keep victims of domestic abuse safe from gun violence. That was supported by all the Republican legislators in our area. And we'd just like to always thank, you know, Senator Keller and, Representative Keller and Senator Yaw, Senator Gordner, all the people in our area who supported that, Linda Schlegel-Culver, Kurt Mosser, and so on. So domestic violence is one way in which people experience gun violence. Of course, we hear about mass shootings, and also people die by gun suicide. And this ERPA legislation is designed in particular to help prevent mass shootings and deaths by gun suicide. And what ERPA is an extreme risk protection order. It's a court order that prohibits a person from possessing, purchasing, receiving, or attempting to purchase or receive a firearm for a limited period of time. So what happens is that if, for example, a law enforcement officer or family member is profoundly concerned about someone's behavior and fears that that person poses a risk to themselves or others, they can petition for one of these protection orders. They are temporary. They would last no longer than 12 months. They are entered after due process. And as I said, they're designed to help prevent suicides and mass shootings. We know from a five-year study that 42% of the time in mass shootings, over a five-year period, 42% of the time, the shooter gave off clear warnings of what their intentions were. And there are a number of instances, including with the horrific Parkland shooting that we just passed the one-year mark from, that person had been on law enforcement's radar, but there was no means to separate that person from his firearms. And ERPA would do that. Also with suicides, you know, we are at a point in Pennsylvania right now where a Pennsylvanian dies every 9 hours from gun suicide. A lot of times, family members recognize that the person is at risk. And ERPA would give these family members a means, again, to just temporarily separate the person from their firearms until the threat has passed.
And it's important to look at the successes other states have had. So Connecticut actually saw a 14% reduction in firearm suicides following the enforcement of its ERPA law. And that it's not, as with all these things, unfortunately, we aren't claiming that we can stop everything, but when there's one every 9 hours, we can certainly slow this down.
All right. And so, as I recall about Connecticut, because this has kind of been talked about nationally, the idea that the readily available weapon, gun, is a pivotal thing for the suicides, that if the gun's not readily available, often the suicide is delayed or doesn't take place. That seems to be a reality.
Or it just doesn't work as well. There may still be a suicide attempt, but it may not be fatal.
Okay, and so saving lives would be an important aspect of that. So
you know, Mark, 85% of firearm suicide attempts end in death. It is the most lethal form of suicide. And so
Lethal.
Yes, of suicide attempt. And so if we can just jump in there before the crisis happens, we can really help save lives.
All right, so we're talking about the Gun Sense Group supporting ERPO. I imagine you want people to call your state representative at some point, or state senator, so get
right
a chance.
Now it's in the Senate. It is being discussed in the Judiciary Committee, and both of our local state senators, Gene Yaw and John Gordner, are on the Judiciary Committee. And we would urge people to learn about this. People can Google colloquial, they're often known as red flag laws. We use the language of extreme risk protection orders, but they can learn more about this at the everytown.org website. They can call Senator Yaw, Senator Gordner. This is legislation that has been proven to save lives. There are 13 states that have this now, most recently Florida and Vermont, both with Republican governors, signed these bills into law. And we are eager to see Pennsylvania join those ranks.
All right. So you want folks to contact your state senator. Have you gotten any feedback from Senator Yaw or Gordner yet on this legislation as to their reaction to it?
Senator Killian introduced the bill last Thursday on the one-year mark from the Parkland mass shooting. And so it's brand new. And we are going to be meeting with senators. We have a lobby day in Harrisburg on April 8th. And Senator Killian will be talking about the legislation, and we will be ramping up our efforts to help keep Pennsylvanians safer.
All right, so
while upholding Second Amendment rights.
In the past, you've had some allies in Harrisburg among the Republican senators, so hopefully that'll happen again. That would be to your advantage. You find some support in Washington, too, for universal background checks. That's a piece of legislation that's pending now. There's another bill pending in Washington.
Yes, H.R. 8 is the background check bill. Basically, what it does is it just brings our background check system up to really late 20th, but let's say 21st century standards. As many of your listeners know, if you go to purchase a firearm from a federally licensed firearm dealer, you will undergo a background check. And all the mom and pop gun shops around here do that due diligence.
And at gun shows, too.
And at gun shows. But there is a loophole, and depending on the state, you may be able to purchase firearms from a private sale without undergoing a background check. And in some states, one out of every 10 people attempting to purchase a gun on the internet in a private sale would not pass a background check. And so what H.R. 8 does is it simply mandates background checks for all firearm sales, including ones on the internet, private sales via the internet.
All right. So they're talking about the gun show loophole. That's what this would help sort of close that loophole. Now, it's not really a gun show loophole. That's a bad name for it. But nonetheless, it would require all sales to have or all transfers. You could give a gun away to somebody and still need a background check.
Sure. I mean, right now, you might be a prohibited purchaser because of criminal activity in the past, and you can just get on the internet and buy a firearm in many states with no questions asked. And to me, that doesn't make sense. If you're a small business owner, you have a gun shop, you're paying your rent or your mortgage, and you're doing this kind of due diligence to help keep Americans safer, make sure that prohibited purchasers don't get them, I don't think you should be penalized for doing that, and then people just get on the internet and they buy them in a private sale, even though they're not allowed to. It just makes sense to close that loophole.
Pennsylvania. Right. Oops.
Please. This is just already, we've already agreed that certain people shouldn't have access to firearms, that we want to protect the rights of the people who do have not lost that right, and we just need to actually enforce it. We've said that there are certain people that shouldn't have access, and then we don't do anything about it.
Where do I get more information, please?
Everytown.org.
That's the website for the Moms Group, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America?
It's the website for Everytown for Gun Safety, which is a companion national organization to Moms Demand Action.
All right. And just Google Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. You can find the national organization locally, though, including the third Wednesday of the month at the East Buffalo Township building at 7 p.m. There is a local moms group. You can contact them at gunsense4csv@gmail.com. Any additional remarks? We have about 30 seconds left.
We really welcome all members of our community to our meetings, and we especially look forward to supporting and honoring people whose lives have been affected by gun violence. And we welcome people.
Gun Violence Survivors Month is underway. Samantha Pearson and Sherry Jacobson of Lewisburg, thank you both so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us,
Mark.